Hi there, and welcome back to the David Taylor podcast. It's been quite a while since the end of season two, but season three is just around the corner. In this series, I'll be talking to more people who are making waves in the classical music world about their journeys, what it is that inspires them, and what their thoughts are on the future of the industry. But just to keep you interested before the start of season three, I have a very, very special chat for you this week. Earlier in September, I was really lucky to actually travel to Dubai, which is very surreal for still being in a pandemic. But while I was there, I had the amazing opportunity to hear Maxim Vengroff in concert. Now, sadly, we didn't get a chance to speak in person when we were there, but the following week, we had a chance to catch up on Zoom to hear more about how the pandemic has been for him. Maxim has gone on his own journey to adopt digital during the pandemic. During this chat, we chat all about what the future of digital can be for him, how it can potentially democratise music education, and also how it has been for him to actually take up the reins and start using things like social media and Instagram, all a lot more. But first, we get started in this chat by talking about how the pandemic has been over the 18 months and what it looked like on a day-to-day basis.
You know, during this pandemic, we had to do something, but we also had a lot of time because, you know, no concerts. And I remember first thing, I was in Russia. I ended up being in Russia with my parents-in-law, and we were all in the summer house with kids, with my wonderful wife. And so already, you know, after a month of being at home, which was really unusual for me, my kids told me, "Daddy, aren't you going away?" So that was the first shock to my system. But we all got used to this lifestyle where we were together very soon. And it was a great thing to be together, get to know the family, finally.
Certainly, I think there's a lot of negatives, obviously, from the last 18 months. But one thing I've heard from quite a few musicians is this relief that you can see your family more, the traveling is less hectic. So there's silver linings in there.
Yes, it was fabulous to be with family, to be together, to actually learn some of the new normal life, so to say. Yes, and it was fantastic. But, you know, I had also a lot of time, and naturally all the thoughts and dreams to realize. So I immediately thought that while we're waiting for the pandemic, which might be, I don't know, at that time it was, we thought 2-3 months max. I said, you know, who would know that it would take like 2 years, two more years. Yes, so I thought there are a lot of things that I'd like to do. I'd like to use my time if I'm not playing, if I'm not teaching actually. And at that time, it was even a problem because, you know, all my kids, you know, two kids we have, Lisa and Paulina. Lisa plays piano and Pauline plays cello. We had to take all lessons online, and the quality was appalling. It was terrible quality of audio and visual, you know. So with the unstable internet we had in our dacha, next, 200 kilometers away from St. Petersburg, it was rather a great suffering for us. So I thought, you know, so if this pandemic is going on, what do we do? You know, we have to continue with music. We have to do something. So I talked to my team in St. Petersburg, technology guys, and said, look, can we improve these conditions? Is it possible to improve the conditions to teach, because the sound isn't so great, you know, and all the conferences? I said, well, let's explore, and we started exploring it, and we end up after half a year having lessons with the whole world in a better quality. thanks to my team. And it was a pure enjoyment, you know, when we were connecting with all the institutions and we created institutional partners with a few of the conservatories, institutes like the University of Mozarteum, where I'm teaching already, Royal College of Music, but also with Japan, we connected to Mexico, we connected to a lot of Latin American institutions like Uruguay, and then lots of European institutes. So then also, besides that, we have also connected with many single students. We called it the lottery ticket students. We wanted to give everyone a chance to connect with me to have lesson, regardless of their level of playing. So they just had to be violinist or viola players.
Definitely. I think that's incredible. I know that on your website you call it democratizing access to music learning. Just how important is that for you, and sort of where did that idea spring from, in effect?
Well, I think, you know, the most important thing is that we realize music is not for is not a luxury but a necessity, if I would put it in one word. Music is healing for our souls. Whether we're doing it professionally or whether we just love doing it because, you know, in free time, it really doesn't matter. The most important thing that we keep doing it, we keep playing. And with music, we can say so much without words. And yes, we had wonderful, interesting students from all over the world, but we also had some amazing amateurs subscribing to the platform, and I had the most extraordinary experiences with them, you know. For instance, you know, Davide Petracchi, who is an amateur violinist, he's a banker, and his passion is playing the violin. And I mean, the joy that he radiated through his playing was amazing. It gave me so much inspiration. So we have connected to many around the world. And music is democratic. And today, one of the good things is that there is so much music out there on the internet. You just go on YouTube or you go to any platform and you can listen so much. It's almost overwhelming, the amount of music we can hear. So it is already very good. It is democratizing. The process has started. The other thing that, you know, really concerns me is because music is also a profession. You know, for some, we the musicians, my colleagues, we have to sustain living. And during this pandemic, it has become it has become an issue. You know, we weren't able to play concerts. So if we play online, of course, it's all for free, with free access. But, you know, with recordings, none existed. In terms of the source of income for musicians, you know, most of musicians have lost their main source of income, like playing concerts, and for some of my colleagues, it has been tremendously difficult to sustain living because nobody cancelled. We still needed to pay bills. Our mortgages, we had to provide for our families, and nobody canceled that. And so part of the idea to create platform was actually to help and explore this avenue. You know, I said right from the start, when we launched the platform in 14th of June, I said, this is just the start, like a mise en bouche, you know, just to taste waters, you know, to what we can do with technologies, how can we improve the conditions for teaching and playing online in case the pandemic is going to go for much longer, which actually it did. Hopefully it'll end very soon and we'll be able to get to the normal times. But I think the beyond the pandemic, the life proved that a lot of things are taking place online, and online can be provided, providing there is a good quality of transmission of audio and video. It's very informative to have some lessons, you know, to when teachers are teaching students. It's very democratic, and it's you can beat lots of distance. So in a way that, you know, if the student found teacher that he loved, why does he have to spend so much money and time traveling around the world, reaching to this? Of course, this is it shows that the person has lots of passion for music, but some people would just not have these possibilities. And this is so. But today, anything is possible. And so what we have tried to do is really improve the conditions on online teaching, which we have done quite successfully.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, as you say, that there's so much potential for this, and that it allows people to connect where they may not have been able to in the past, especially when their circumstances aren't there. But as you say as well, that this was a first attempt and you were trying to get things going and see what the possibilities of the technology were. What did you learn along your digital journey of creating this project? What challenges did you face with the technology? And where do you feel you are now in what you're providing and the things that you've learned along the way?
I think beyond everything, all the technical aspects that we had to go through, all the hurdles that have been in front of us for the sound delays and quality of sound and video and synchronization, which have been quite tricky, you know. You would find a platform that would allow you to stream the sound with very little, if even almost no delay, within 1,000 kilometers, which is quite extraordinary. But then you realize video is much heavier, so you can't connect, you can't synchronize the two. And whether for master classes this is okay, but for real time play it's not. So, you know, lots of hurdles that we had to face, and some of them are unbeatable until today. Maybe someday it will be possible. Well, just, you know, take into consideration one factor. Nobody can beat the speed of light. So nobody has canceled that. But, you know, beyond every technical problems that needs to be solved, and I'm sure with the time we'll be able to come as close as possible to the competing with the speed of light. I think there's one thing that I understood, that nobody and nothing will replace live performance and live interaction with audiences. You know, we will go probably in quite a few years, if not, you know, in no time, we'll go into different technologies like holograms, where we'll be able to see people just in front of us. We'll be in one room, and everything will be as if this is real life today. It's happening now, but still the live interactions, nothing can beat that. And I think the more technologies will improve, the more we would want live events where we could actually be in the same room with people and breathe this atmosphere. I think it's important that it has to work hand in hand, the technologies and live interactions, live concerts, live lessons. I think everything is important. So the two are really complementing to each other.
I couldn't agree more. And there's a really fascinating study before the pandemic into attendances at Scottish football games, which I know is a bit of a tangent. But they found that when football matches were televised, the attendance at games not only didn't go down, it went up. So more people wanted to go because it was a special match, because it was on television. So I think there's the potential that when we have concerts that are live streamed, that people then want to go and see. And it's hopefully that helps the live performance side as well. I think you've been very humble in this interview by not actually saying some of the great successes you've had with the platform. So, for example, in the 9 months after launch, you reached 171 countries and the 52 million people. Is that right? Which seems absolutely incredible. So first of all, huge congratulations for that. But from seeing this huge success, do you wish you'd started your digital journey a little bit earlier? Because I know that for you, this is your first website. Do you wish that you could sort of 10 years ago or 5 years ago had started a project like this?
You know, this is a very relevant point, what you're saying. And it's funny that still 2 years ago, I wasn't even considering opening my Instagram account. I wasn't on Twitter. I wasn't on Facebook. I wasn't anywhere, because I thought always, you know, if the people, those people that like me, they will continue to hopefully like me, and they will go to concerts to see me. You know, and for me, I don't really need this exposure, because people. So, you know, I've been around now for quite a few years. You know, three, even four decades. You know, this year, last year, I was actually celebrating my 40th on stage, and we have put a concert in Albert Hall, where friends of mine would join me, Marta Argerich and Misha Majski would join me in this little celebration, but 40th on stage. So my first concert was when I was five, so I was 45 at the time. Because of the pandemic, so we couldn't realize this project, so it's been postponed already twice, and we're still not certain whether next year in April we will be able to do. Hopefully, we'll be doing this. So, having said that, 40 years on stage, so many concerts played, so I didn't think that I need really much of the exposure. So I thought always this is for younger generation. Be on all the social media. But then, you know, because of this pandemic, I wanted to talk to the world. I wanted to be in touch. I wanted to do something. I wanted to help. I wanted to teach. I wanted to play. And immediately, where would you turn? You would turn to internet, to the latest possibilities. And here it is, you know, so because of this pandemic. And I think beyond pandemic, I appreciate now the tools that we have. And how can we reach and touch people with through internet? I will never forget that when in March all concerts were suspended, and I was on my way to go to Hamburg to play in the Elbphilharmonie, the beautiful concert hall recital. Immediately I approached them. Classic FM station. At this time, you know, I was the artist in residence of theirs. I'm still. And I said, you know, I'd love to play for people. I'd love to put concerts, home concerts. And we've streamed live home concert, and we had like more than 250,000 people that were watching. So, you know, in which concert hall can you play for so many people?
Yeah.
And the most important is the comments that I had were so overwhelming. It was really so touching. That gave me so much joy and also inspiration to create something. And out of this created, it was kind of a seed that was planted for the future research that I had been doing during this 1.5 year.
incredible. And I think you're right, sort of that feedback side is something that's quite unusual for performers in the live setting. You don't get to speak to every single person in the concert hall or to hear what their thoughts are. So it's, as you say, it's a great way to hear from all of that. So finally, I'm quite curious as to what your future plans for the platform are. Because obviously you've done so much around development, especially with the lottery for people attending, but also the technology side. What are your hopes for the platform going forward, and what do you see as the future for it for you?
Well, again, this is a start. You know, for me, what is important is my greatest ambitions is that my platform will be a good use to others. And we have the most inspiring group of people, which we call, you know, the community group. And they are the wonderful teachers and mentors and mentees from all over the world, including London Symphony Orchestra and Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. You know, some of them are teachers from Mexico and Latin America. And I think this community is going to grow. They provide music online. They'll be teaching and connecting with students all over the world through my platform. And I think this is a great thing that they can touch and inspire others, again, in a democratic way. People don't have to pay for these lessons. They'll just be, they are volunteers. They are passionate about music. They're great professionals. They'll be teaching students from all over the world in the rural areas in Latin America. Hopefully they'll connect also with China. Don't forget the Chinese, they have only 20 million violinists there and 50 million pianists. So this world is still, and one of the hurdles that we had is to connect with China because they have different internet, you know? So speaking of some boundaries here, but I think with time, this will be solved and we'll be embracing a larger and more bigger world, which is so exciting. And with music, we can communicate to so many people. So this is one pillar that is very important to the platform, is letting others to use it to inspire and to give to transmit the knowledge. On my part, I've done so many lessons now to our institutional partners all over the world, and also lotteries. I think now is the time also that I will be teaching sharing my knowledge with teachers. I think this is one of the good things that I can do, because I do have experience as a teacher. For such long time, I've been already a teacher, starting from 26, when I enrolled as a professor of music of violin in Germany, in Saarbrücken. Then I've been teaching in the Royal Academy of Music, Royal College of Music. Then I became 3 years ago, I became a professor in the under University of Mozarteum. So this experience I can share, and this will be very exciting, because what will actually happen, well, I'll be in the same room, yeah? So online with a teacher who will have his or her own student there. And I'll be watching, observing a lesson and giving some tips how to teach. Because, you know, teaching is not only you give the instructions and that there you go. It's very much the psychology, how you know, when you say and what you say, it's very important, the timing of this, the communication. So this, I'd love to share this knowledge with them. So this is great excitement. And I think, you know, with the time, there will be other initiatives that may arise. Once you have the platform, the you know, this the horizon, the sky is the limit. You can do so much, especially online.